Boy, for those of us who are saved, how different would life be without Christ? Just thinking about that, just, you know, all that I am, all that I get to be is because of the Lord. And I'm glad for the blood of our Lord that cleanses us white as snow. And we're thankful that that forever we're changed as a result. And we're gonna pick up where we've been in the book of Joshua. And so we're in Joshua chapter 4. And so if you're not up to where we're at this morning, we're done with the book of Jonah. And we finished that. We're going to pick up in the book of Joshua. We've been doing that on the Sunday evenings this year. I looked at my records. I think the last time I was in the book of Joshua was the 25th of June. And so if you want to look back, cue that up on the website, you can just get the first six of the series, all right? So we were in Joshua 1, 2, and 3. We're now in Joshua 4. And if you know the story a little bit, you understand that now they're about to enter into the promised land. All of the wilderness journey is done. That generation that were in unbelief had now passed on, and it was another generation that now has coming up to enter into the promised land. They were at the banks of the river Jordan, and Jordan was overfilling its banks. It was a tremendous body of water that they really couldn't cross, and here they were. God gave them a plan, and there's a little bit of a pattern that we're going to see as we read right through the book of Joshua, that there's some things that God will ask him to do that's a little unusual and a little bit, you know, not orthodox, to say. Not regular. They're just going to go through, and God's going to ask him to do some things that really, when it comes down to it, is all about trusting him. It's all about having faith and having the courage to believe in the God who brought them there in the first place. And really, when it comes down to it, the theme in the chapter that we're reading is now about a remembrance. And you know, it's interesting as you go to different cities around the world that there's different sorts of remembrances and different memorials. When Brother Noah came to Brisbane, it's his first time here. He came in on the train, and if you know how long that takes, it's 14 hours on the train. And I figured if he's coming in at 5 a.m. and he's already been on the train 14 hours, I was also going to wake up early and pick him up at that time, all right? And so I went in there, and there was only one cafe in the whole city open, so we went to it, grabbed the coffee, and we started walking around. But even as we got up from the parking lot right up to the street level, right there immediately we were in Anzac Square, and there was a memorial. There was a statue there with little inscription that described that. And I think we understand the value of memorials. It helps us remember significant events. It helps us remember times that just have lessons for us, that remind us about how we got here in the first place. And God's instituting here in our reading in chapter 4, where they were about to cross the River Jordan, God is going to do something miraculous. And in anticipation of that, God tells Joshua, pick 12 men, one from each tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want you to tell them that as they're crossing, that they need to pick up a stone. And at that time, there's going to be a memorial raised up so that when the children ask one day what these are for, you can tell them. And you know, it's interesting as we're coming into our time of really, for us as a church, a remembrance of what God has done. We're coming into August 31. It's going to be our 47th anniversary. For some of you, you've been here through the whole history of this church. And there's certain things that are markers on this property that I'm sure when you walk past it is a remembrance of what God has done in that time. For those of you who are a little bit newer to the church, maybe they won't be as significant, but you might ask the question. You know, just again, as we came from the city, I took Noah through the property yesterday morning, and he asked about certain names that were placed on buildings. He asked about Wilf Blake. Who's Pastor Wilf Blake? And I was able to describe to him that he was instrumental as a pastor of the church, as he really was instrumental in getting the school going and then ministering in such a gentle way, in such a personal way to the church. And he asked about who Sid Hunter was on that other building. And I told him he was a pastor of our church for a little while. He helped start a real work here for the Lord, and he was instrumental in the establishing and the founding of our church. And it's interesting that as you learn the history of a place, you start to begin to understand also the direction of a place. You start to understand that as part of that, men of God were sent here to open the Word of God, and because of that, there's a community that's thriving, and that there should be a remembrance of those that have gone before, but then not just a remembrance of those, but really a recollection of what God has done, ultimately. And you know, we tend to put faces to memories, but ultimately as believers, would you agree this morning, it's God that did that. It's God. And you know, we have here, if you may have noticed, squished in the middle. And I didn't ask them, I sort of asked them, but all of these young men that's sitting here. And we're trying to develop a good culture of, you know, you should love preaching. And you should sit at the front and listen to preaching, right? Because the only reason we still have a church was there were year after year and month after month, there were some of you who were the young people one time, and you grew to love preaching. And you grew to be committed, and you grew to be part of this church. And now guess what? It's their turn to ask the question, what mean ye these stones? What mean ye? What do you mean, Pastor, that we should love preaching? And what do you mean, Pastor, that we should open and bring our Bibles to church? What does that mean? You know, what that is it's we're telling the story of what God has done so that another generation can continue on in the work that God has called us to do. And we've got to be reminded that God is not just some memorial that we've got to remember from the past, but the reason we have those memorials in the first place is because God is moving forward. And here God was trying to move the nation forward. It's important for us that we ought to have markers in our lives that speak to the victories God has done in days gone by. And yet at some point, there were current struggles or current trials. This was current for the nation of Israel. And there's many, many times where God reminds us to remember. You know, even old truths in 2 Peter 1:12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of those things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. He says in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And I'm not saying this morning that it's all about just being nostalgic. It's actually about present day courage that's based on past victories that God has wrought in our lives. And I think church, if we're not careful, we're not willing to perhaps pay attention right now in the moment and understand that God is doing something. And then as a danger to that, we can be too forgetful of what God has done. And yet what he's setting up a principle in Scripture for us to learn to remember what God has done so that we can be emboldened in our time to face our current challenges. And so in Joshua chapter 4, we see that this present situation that they were in was something that God wanted them to recognize right there. That there are present day things happening in the moment so that there's future references that we can make. And Joshua here is asking, is been given the commandment to go and ask 12 men to bear these 12 stones. And he's asking them to pay attention in the present because God has in his mind in the future. And what God is trying to tell us this morning is that God values reminders. God values us just remembering present things so that in future reference, we can help embolden and help encourage and help bring courage when others are coming through their own time. You see, this wasn't really the first time they had crossed a body of water. This was somewhat familiar to some, certainly Joshua and certainly Caleb. Perhaps there were those in that day that had passed on and they were now no longer there, but certainly they would have told the stories to their children. And now they were facing their own challenge. There was another body of order. There was another time that they had to enter into this promised land. This was a time now where this generation was to come. And the danger was that God knew that people are forgetful and people, because of that, can lose hope in the present. See, the trouble is that God's people tend to be forgetful of the moment. They fail to see that each obstacle should be seen through the lens of God's record of faithfulness. Turn to another place in Scripture. We'll be quickly back to Joshua chapter 4. But look at Psalm 106. Psalm 106. And it's important that we take the time. You know, there was moments in the nation's history where they were forgetful. There were times where they just took it for granted that they were there. There were times where they just sort of said, well, we're here. And there's no recollection of what has just occurred. And there's an issue with that. In Psalm 106, there's really a telling of God's mercy through the history and the lens of Israel's history. In Psalm 106, verse 9, he says, he rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. And remember, notice there, the reminder came and then they believed. But then verse 13, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsels, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. You remember that whole issue with the people was just their discontent. They kept remembering back to the wrong things. They forgot about what God did with the Red Sea. They kept remembering the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And they forgot that actually God had saved them through miraculously through the Red Sea. What a beautiful picture of salvation. You know, that whole picture of the Red Sea parting is a great picture of salvation. It ought to bring us our minds to the blood of Christ, how we're brought through the blood of Christ. And maybe as a good start this morning, you just remind yourself what it cost Christ to save you. That was a miracle in your life. Actually, there was nothing that God saw in your life that attracted him to you. It was all his goodness, it was all his grace. And because of his love for you, he was willing to shed his blood and pay that price that we couldn't pay. And because of that, as we said earlier, our lives are eternally changed. And we have this life to live. And we have the Holy Spirit. And we have the title of son and daughter. And we have the title of saint. And we're called to be soldiers in the army, and we've been given a purpose, and we're now on this journey, and we're getting somewhere. Why? All because of the blood of Christ. Yeah, that's a good reminder every day. Yeah, sometimes we can get a little bit prideful, and we've maybe grown a little bit in the Christian walk, and we're just thinking that, hey, we're so mature now, and we're past that, and it would just do us well to humble ourselves and remind ourselves, hey, we never earned it to begin with, and we still don't earn it. We're just changed because of the grace of God. And now there's a reminder here, but there's a need for them to come to a place of remembrance. You know, there was a study recently done, and they studied how the brain works, and what they wanted to understand was that how does the brain function as far as how it develops hope? It's amazing what they can read into the scans in your brain. And they did a study of over 500 people. And what they found was the same part of your brain that remembers things is also the same part of your brain that produces hope. It's the same part, that whole structure of imagining, that whole structure of hoping for the future, what was tied in to the ability of a person to remember. And what they found was those who were perhaps losing their memory and were finding it more difficult to remember just in accuracy how things were when they were going through their lives, they also struggled to look ahead and see what the future looked like for them. They struggled to imagine how they can get past tomorrow when they've had way more tomorrows that they've already gotten past. And it's interesting that as they studied that, what they concluded was actually a big part of a person's ability to hope for their future was their ability to remember accurately all of what they've been able to get through already. And you know, it's the same for us spiritually today. You know, sometimes we can go through and there's no doubt current struggles and current situations that we find ourselves in. And I don't know how long you've been saved. Maybe it's been a short time. Maybe it's been a long time. But if you can really think back and really focus in on your life and take some time to meditate and take some time to have some quiet, you know what you're going to find? There's memories in your life that actually, when you really think about it, God brought you through that. God brought you through it. God answered a prayer. God sent a counselor in the right time. God sent some provision miraculously, and God did that. And you know, it'd be good for us to just have a culture of remembering. And that's what God was trying to institute into this new generation, this new nation that's about to go into the promised land. And he was trying to get them to understand how important it was to remember. And what I'm saying with that is this: we should be actively seeing and not just recalling the past, but actually remembering now. Because here's the trick: tomorrow always comes. There will always be a tomorrow in the will, as the Lord wills it. And today will be tomorrow's remembrances. And here's what we do sometimes. We get so busy and caught up in everything else, we're not actively remembering how things are right now. We can get caught up in just thinking about how to get through it, that you're just not taking the time. And God wanted them to purposely be a little bit more paused and a little bit more purposeful and intentional to remember right now. He was trying to get them to understand that, hey, I want you to recall something here. And in fact, it's going to be so important that I'm going to get you to build up a memorial, to understand that there's something here that you need to look back to. And, you know, we need to be purposeful about that, our present-day victories. You know, our present-day victories are tomorrow's markers. They're tomorrow's testimonies to help us keep going. And that's really what I want to speak to you about this morning, is really our present-day victories. Our present-day victories are recognizing what they are and recognizing that what they're for. And I want you to see here really in the first place that Joshua speaks to these 12. And again, there are 12 men. He actually begins that. Joshua was given this in Joshua chapter 3. Go back to the book of Joshua now, chapter 3. And he prepares them. The Bible tells us that in verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Earlier on, he did that. God already commanded him. He says there, behold, in verse 11, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over Jordan. You remember that the instruction was that the nation of Israel were to pick up their victuals, meaning everything that they needed. They needed to pick that up, and they needed to then have it ready. And then in 3 days, they march. In 3 days, the Jordan was going to open. And they said, you can't move until the Ark of the Covenant moves. You priests, you carry that. You go to the brink of the Jordan. And as soon as their feet were going to hit the Jordan, God was going to do something. And the whole nation was going to cross over on dry land. And in the midst of that, here's an instruction in verse 12. Chapter 3, verse 12. Now therefore take you to Joshua, 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. He says, I want you to take representatives. I want you to take out of all the 12 tribes, there's 12 tribes there, Joshua, I want you to take one from every one of those, one man. And it shall come to pass, and he goes on, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest shall bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And we know the story, the waters did abate. And in the midst of that, his instruction was this: while you're crossing, these 12 men need to pick up a stone. So I don't know if Joshua gathered the 12 and then told them, or I don't know if he went to every tribe and he went to the first man in the tribe and he said, listen, God told me something. You're the tribe of Levi. No, tribe of Issachar. Okay. Well, we'll say tribe of Stanley. Tribe of Stanley in our modern day vernacular. And he says, you're going to represent the tribe of Stanley. And here's what God told me to tell you. Pick up a stone. Right. And they're looking like a stone. And you know, Joshua went down the line and we could go down and they could all be representatives of their tribe. But I don't know if he did that as a group, or he spoke to them individually, but they were each individually responsible to do that. And you can imagine as they're walking there, it wasn't like they went to the stone store and said, hey, can I have a stone, please? No, there were stones everywhere. You imagine maybe some of them who are a little bit more detail-oriented agonized over what their stone looked like. You know, I want a nice, smooth stone. I just can't find it, all dented. I just need that one. I don't know if they agonized over it. Maybe they did, it was for the Lord. But what it was a personal burden. And while there was a command in general to go cross over as the ark went, there was also individual instruction to these men to now take another burden. And maybe as they're going along, maybe the first one, he was a little bit nonchalant, a little blasé, and little just went, well, it's the first one. It looks really easy to carry. I'm just going to take this one, you know. And then as they were walking, he saw another one, and maybe the other man had a bigger stone, and he went, he's got a bigger stone. I'm going to put that one down. I need a bigger one. I don't know if they were competitive that way, but what it was, whatever it was, they took 12 stones to eventually make a memorial. And what it was, firstly, as what we think about what current victories look like, here's the thing, they had each a command. And here's the principle, our current victories, really simply this, are realized through obedience. There's no story without obedience. There's no memorial without obedience. And too many times, we're trying to build a legacy, or we want to be remembered for something, when God's trying to say this, just do what I command you to do. You know, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it just doesn't seem like it's logical, that's my command. And the river crossing was it was just a simple exercise in obedience and faith. You know, sometimes we sing that hymn, Trust and Obey. It's a beautiful hymn. It was written at the time of D.L. Moody, and there was a young man in the congregation that day during that revival meeting. And the young man afterward just simply declared this. He said, I'm not quite sure in response to what is it that God would have you to do. And he just simply said this, I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. And the head of music that day was in earshot of that, and he wrote that beautiful hymn, Trust and Obey. And really, you know, if you want to see current victories done in your life, sometimes we grapple with that and sometimes we wrestle with that. But here's simply what it is. We just need to know what God says and do it. We just need to be faithful to the word of God, and we need to be faithful to the commands of God, and we need to just seek God in his expectation of us. And I'm saying that faith and obedience, they go together. And much of what might have been achieved, even here in this situation, even the miraculous, it ultimately relies on faith and obedience. It's just simply understanding what God expects of us. You know, sometimes we're too mindful. And sometimes we get a little bit enamored with how we will be remembered. But you know what God's doing is simply, He's just building it in just the basic thing of obedience. And obedience in general was really what He said in the first place in verse 1, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan. You know, there was a general call. There was a general thing. And you know, for us, there are general things that we know in the Word of God. And by the way, if you're not in the habit of sitting and meditating and studying and reading the Word of God, you know what you're missing out on? Your victory today. What God can do in your life today. If you're here and there's this time we're supposed to assemble, and there's a time of preaching, and you've come in and you just want to be closed and you just don't want to care. Listen, here's what happens. You miss out on what God could be advising you about your current victory today. And that's really where it's at. You know, there's a general obedience. And you know, even obedience in unusual and disadvantaged situations can really be the making of a people's history. You listen, there's never been a time like the time we have now. You know, that's obvious in practical ways. Right? The whole agent of time is change. We're living now. We're living in this time. And you could pine for what it was, but Australia is here right now, like this. And guess what? It's not really the best time to really be a Christian right now. It can be a little bit in this cancel culture when you stand for things that are truthful and things that are difficult to swallow. It can be sometimes a time where you could be canceled. You could be looked at as a bigot. You could be looked at as yesterday's man. You could look at someone that belonged to the past and irrelevant for now in this post-truth world. And it's not the time. But listen, God's still looking for obedience. It never was when it was easy. It never was when it's popular. Listen, God always expects obedience. Regardless of the time. And the people there could have looked at that Jordan and they could have seen and they could have said, well, what's the ark got to do with it? And what's God going to do? And yet here it was, the Bible records for us. Their simple obedience meant that they all passed over. They all obeyed and they all went through. They all got to see. And all the people united in belief, united in obedience, what happened? A great thing happened. And this was general obedience. You know, don't underestimate your general obedience. I know sometimes we're just wanting to be wowed. You know, we want to come to church and pastor, give us something new. Give us something that we can... Listen, more often than not, I'm just not going to... I just don't want to be negligent to give you a truth you already know. And there's general obedience. And you know, sometimes we won't ever get to anywhere for the Lord because we're just not even taking care of our general obedience. But you know what? There's also obedience in specifics. And we already read it in Joshua chapter 3. But then he goes on in chapter 4, verse 2, take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe a man. And he says, command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And now he begins to tell them some, not general obedience, but obedience in specifics. He speaks to 12 individuals, representing the 12 tribes of Israel, but they were individuals. And what I'm saying is, whilst there are general things that God gives us, there's some specific things that God wants you to be obedient about. You know, every one of you here this morning, God has a perfect will for you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for every person here that's breathing, that's living, every person. You know, we understand, firstly, God's will for every man is for them to understand the scriptures and understand what Jesus did and for them to get saved. So if you're here this morning and you're not saved, God's will for you is to get saved. God's will for you. God said he's not slack concerning his promise that all shall come unto repentance. And he's saying that his desire and his will for every man is for them to know Christ as their Savior. But then after that, all of us here, we ought to be active in listening for the Word of God and the voice of God and the Spirit of God in our lives to give us some specific commands. You all and we all have a race to run for the Lord. But you know what? My course is not your course. And your course is not my course. It's no one else's. It's for yours to run. And there are specifics that God will speak to individuals about. And here, what they were a special representation. They were to represent each tribe. And you know, you might be you might be representing your family, or you might be representing a group of people. There was a specific role. He said, carry the stones. And he didn't specify what the stones needed to look like. He just said, carry it. Pick one. Take it. Take it and let it be that your representation for me, for the generations to come. And then there was a significant reason. It was to be a memorial. And what I'm saying here this morning is that your personal obedience matters. You know, you might belong to our church and you might think, well, our church is doing okay. We just seem to be. I mean, there's people getting saved. There's people getting baptized. And that we seem to have a strong group here that, you know, they just believe in the right things. And you might be part of that. But listen, that's great. That's wonderful. But what are you doing about it in your individual life? What are you doing about it? Because you're an individual that's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And you know what? Your church isn't going to be with you. You're going to stand there. And we're going to stand. And personal obedience matters. The individuals had to be willing to take this on. And you know, the significance of it may not be immediate. You understand, Joshua told them just this. He said, go pick up the 12 stones. A stone each. That's nothing. Like, someone could do that today. But they didn't understand the significance until after, when they crossed and they saw that and they lodged there. And Joshua said, go pile it up over there because that's going to be a memorial forever. And you know, there's some things that you do as an individual in your obedience to the Lord. Could be your Bible reading. Your parents, you're raising your family and it's just hard. And you've got to bring them to church and you've got to get them dressed and ready and you want to bring them. And you then, you know, if they're of the age, you take them to youth group on a Friday night. And then you're just trying to help them. You come on a Wednesday evening and you drag yourself and sometimes you're doing these things out of obedience and you don't know what the significance is. You know, you never know significance until you've gone through it and you're past it and then you look back. And you don't know that. You don't know what a prayer can bring. You don't know what faithfulness day in, day out will bring. And yet you're accountable. There's personal obedience. It matters. And because of that, your personal seeking matters. You need to seek God for God's plan for your life. Listen, it's no longer really your life. It's a life that you're supposed to live for Christ anyway. And so you're supposed to seek him. Hey, listen, you're not meant to just wake every morning and just do whatever you feel. You're supposed to seek God every day. You're supposed to say, God, here I am. It's another day. Thank you. Because of your mercies, we're not consumed. And God, listen, I'm going to live my life for you today. Tell me what I'm supposed to do today. And you know, generally, he's going to tell you, live your life. Live your life for God. Go and be a witness. Go be a salt. Go be light. Go be the one that shows the love of Christ in that place. And there's going to be those general things, but sometimes it could be specific things. It might be that day that you have an appointment that you didn't know God made for you. You got to talk to a person to encourage. You got to sit with the person and you led them to Christ. And you don't know that, but you're only going to know if you're daily seeking His will for your life. You know, too many Christians go live this ambiguous sort of just general life, and they go about and they just sort of go in autopilot. They go to a default setting for their lives. And they never usher the words or breathe the prayer of, Lord, what will you have me to do? I think many of us here would be surprised one day in heaven what God could have done with our lives if we simply asked that question. I think there's many of us here that perhaps there was a great call in your life and you just never bothered asking. Maybe there's some here, you're looking back and you go, well, what was the significance of my life? And listen, if you've sought God and you've lived that life in your seeking of Him to the best of your ability, to His by His grace, by His power, I want to encourage you, it does matter. And it will, you'll see it one day. But it's going to be our current victories. They come through obedience. But secondly, this afternoon, our current victories will be remembered through intentionality. And what I'm saying is they had to be intentional. You know, we sometimes underestimate the power of now. You know, we don't always view moments we're living in as historical. You know, we can sort of live our lives and go, well, I'm just me. But you know, the reality is this, church, you know, history is always being written. You're writing your history now. And in fact, we might not be actively doing it, but God's recording, God's seeing, and God's paying attention. And God knows where your heart is right now. God knows where your heart has been all through the course of this week. And that's the nature of life. Yesterday turns into today, and which then turns into tomorrow, which turns into history. You know, if you ever look back and you were trying to remember something, and now I think we take for granted this whole concept of memory. But why? Because we just have cameras everywhere. Yeah, you could quickly take a photo. And you know, my wife and I, we always lament a little bit, we're not photo people. We don't think of taking a photo in the moment. You know, there's times that we wish we could look back and go, oh, you remember their first step? Yeah, I remember that. We don't have any photos. We have no videos. We're just not that way. And yet, there's a real good to that when you're intentional to just remember things. Now, some of you, you're just like, well, I just live my life. Listen, live your life, but remember some things. There's some things worth remembering. And you know, the only way you're going to arrive to that one day is just being intentional. And sometimes being intentional means that you're just firstly in the moment. You're paying attention. You're not asleep, hinting at some of you right now. Right? You're awake. You're observant. You're present. Hey, listen, you're human beings. So be. Be here. Be in the now. And you know, many times our heads are in the clouds and we're looking around, and yet God's doing some things now. And we have to be intentional about what we're doing today. Why? Because it'll decide tomorrow, but it might just be the things that you do today may just be the hinge points in which we can anchor our tomorrows with. And we've got to be intentional about what we're doing today, because it will decide tomorrow. But will we remember our days for our well-doing? And here's what happened in the day that Joshua instructed. It was to be intentional. And what he first did, he did it in preparation. Look again in verse 4. Joshua chapter 4, verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men, and notice this, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. You know, he told them, be ready. He picked them out and he said, you be ready. You have your stones, and you're not going to know why. You're just going to bury that burden. You're going to carry that burden. But here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. Go get a stone. And it was. It was just, they had prepared. He had prepared them. And we've got to prepare ourselves. We're only going to be intentional in preparation if we come with a sense of we're preparing to see something done for the Lord. We're preparing each Sunday. We're preparing each time we gather. We're preparing as we open the Word of God. We're preparing our hearts. We're saying we're prepared. And they prepared. Again, back that chapter, Joshua had already obeyed God and prepared the men to be ready to obey God. And sometimes we've just got to get the attention of those that are around us to say, hey, listen, you pay attention today. God might bring something to you that you need today. It's preparation. And we've got to be intentional in doing right and preparing ourselves and maybe those around us, others, to do right. But then secondly, not only was it in preparation, but secondly, in perspiration. They had to actually do it. You know, here's sometimes what happens is we prepare and then it just doesn't happen. You know, we prepare and we say things and we do things and then it just doesn't happen. He told them in verse 5, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. He tells them it's perspiration. You're gonna have to carry some things. You're going to actually have to do it. And the priests had their own burden. They had the ark, but each man did as well. And what I'm saying is we have to work our work for God. Do it. You know, it might be difficult. Listen, it might be difficult to raise children in this day for God. It might be difficult to be a testimony in your workplace. It might be difficult to stand out in the midst of this perverse and crooked generation. It might be difficult in front of a family that doesn't understand that you are a Christian and doesn't actually accept that. You know, I think about Tiana, her whole intent was to go back to Singapore where her extended family are going through a trial right now. And you know what? Her reports have been encouraging, but also it's just caused us to pray a little bit more. She's felt a little bit of that rejection. But you know what? It's right for her to do. So she's sweating it over there, literally in Singapore. But I'm saying to you that there's some burdens you're supposed to be bearing right now through perspiration. That you're just meant to carry these stones that'll be a memorial one day. And we have to work our work for God. And each one has a burden. Maybe it was the ark, one of the priests. Maybe it was a stone. But everyone had victuals. Everyone had those things that they had to carry for their needs. And there's some things we carry each day. But then thirdly, they were supposed to do it intentionally in preparation, in perspiration, but then thirdly, in anticipation. Because here's what God was trying to get them to think in verse 6, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Saying there's going to be another generation that's going to ask you. There's going to be, you've got to anticipate that there's people watching you. And here it is, we need to have a clearer view of what tomorrow will be. Do you have a clear view of those around you, those that are watching? You know, some of you don't have, but there are those around you that see you. And our intentionality today, it's going to be the deciding and decoding factor for the next generation, deciding in that it'll be what they will have, that they will have a tomorrow for the Lord. Here's what it was. They had to obey in this so that they could cross over. If they didn't cross over, they didn't really have a future. They were just stuck there. But their future lie ahead of them. And their children were going to ask. And so they had to intentionally look ahead. You know, sometimes we do things as younger people without ever a thought of what it's going to cost our kids tomorrow. And I know some of you can't even imagine having kids, but it'll come. It might be that, or it'll just be that you have some influence over some others along you in your life. But what's it going to cost? What does it tell them about God? What does it tell them? Your obedience. But it's also decoding in that they're going to have a right remembrance of the Lord. Some things they can look back on And it'll just make it clear for them what that means. And too many times, we sort of just leave a little bit of a puzzle of what our life look like when God's saying, be intentional about it. Be intentional so when they ask what your life is all about, you can actually tell them. You can actually show them. And so you've got to be intentional in that, in your current victories. You know, what are you recording today? What are some things that you're doing purposely today in preparation, in perspiration, in anticipation that your kids can look at? And kids could see, hey, listen, this is what dad, this was his mom, this was what our church was all about. Yeah, I think about walking through that hall. If you've never done that, you know, when I came here, thankfully, we did some renovations in the back there. As part of that, I wanted to make sure that there's a remembrance of what we are as and who we are as a church. And you know, there's a gauntlet I go through every morning. And that gauntlet is I look at the people on the photos of that wall and the years of our church ministry, and I challenge myself, are you going to be a contributor to that wall? I look at some of these men who were the pastors of this church, and I owe them a great debt. Why? Because they laid a foundation. I'm only building on another man's work. And I look at that and I challenge myself and I look at it. And you know, I don't want to live there. I'm living for now. But I also want to challenge myself to go, you know what? I'm going through what I get to go through because of those that have gone before. And I go through that, and what that is, I'm intentionally, and I'm remembering, and I'm deciding that I'm going to be this way. Why? Because there were those that did it before me. And, you know, there's some things that you need to leave behind that's going to, you're intentionally living now, that will show something for the future ahead. And really, that's how he finishes this chapter in verses 6 to 9. And he says there, in verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. He's describing the now. And he says, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. And notice the Bible in verse 9, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So as of the writing of this book, they were still there. And what it was, lastly, as we think about present-day victories, our current victories, really what he was saying, they're going to be the reasons others will hope one day. Because now they can look back and someone can tell them, you know, God did this. You know, what you're going through, listen, God did something similar before. And our current victories are the reasons others will hope. You know, I said it already, but I'll say it again. We're being observed. And our actions for God, they're being weighed. And it's firstly, not just weighed by those that'll come ahead, but it'll be weighed by those who are with us. Notice in verse 6 again, it says that this may be a sign among you. You know, there were already people right there who were really asking and looking for hope. There's some people here today, and they're just going through some things. Maybe they're a little quiet about it, but maybe they're observing something about you, and something about you God's highlighting in their life, and you're the memorial right now. Your faithfulness to come week in, week out. Maybe you don't see the significance of that, and you're just turning up, and you know maybe you're a little in pain that day, and you're like, oh, should I go to church? And you still go to church. And you know, someone's looking, and they're like, they're here again. They're always sick, and they're always here. It's amazing. And they see that testimony. There are people with us that are observing. You know, never forget that you have an opportunity to have an immediate impact today. The actions that the 12 took, they were for the nation in that moment. It wasn't just for tomorrow. It was those that were with them. They took those stones, and you imagine a group of 12, maybe one at a time, maybe someone sitting on the banks of that, and they were looking, and they see one man with a large stone, and he carries that over. He puts it at their dwelling place like they were commanded to do. And then another one comes along maybe an hour later, And another one, and then they go, that's unusual. Look what's happening over there. And then they, and then one by one, the 12 finally get there. And the guy's looking, there's all these groups of people going, what's that about? And you know, there are those amongst us today. There might be those that are our neighbors who watch you 12 months of the year. You've just gone to church. You've taken that drive. And they're like, what's that about? There are those amongst us that were supposed to be, and our current victories, the reason they will hope. But certainly the Bible bears it out for us, for people ahead of us. Because he says in verse 6, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come. You know, the word children here really means young people. Just young. Don't fully comprehend, don't fully understand. They don't fully grasp the situation that they were being part of. They don't fully comprehend the enormity of it. They're just seeing this thing and, wow, dry ground, cool. And what they were saying is your children who are ahead of you, who one day will be awakened to the fact that they're here and how. How did we get here? Mom and Dad, why is it that we go to church? Mom and Dad, why is it that we read our Bible? You know, there, for a little while, for those of you who have young ones, they just take it for granted. Like, you're reading, so they're reading. But one day, they're going to start to go, why do we have to do this? Why? You know, some of you in the kids' ministry now, you're going through that, you know, that why stage. Two lines, why? Right? Color this in, why? It's a good stage. You get to tell them things. They're starting to reason things out. And it's a good stage. And one day he was saying there's going to be those ahead of you that are going to ask the question, what are these stones for? Why? And you know what? Your current victories, that's going to be the reason others will hope. Because now they're going to say, hey, you know, there was a group of 12, one from each tribe, and you know what? God did this. God cut off the waters of Jordan, and you know, he cut it off at the city of Adam, and then suddenly this dry ground came, and we didn't know how to cross. I mean, two spies went. And they told us the river of Jordan was really enormous. It was overfilling its banks. And we got there. It was true. Look at it. And then God did this. And you know those stones? It reminds us of this. And listen, you know, too many times we take for granted what today is when tomorrow is going to be begging to ask the question. And really, it's for people who ask us, what mean you these stones? You ever been asked a question and you don't really know the answer to? Well, these people knew because they were there. They were actually part of it. And memorials can be actually stepping stones to deeper conversations. You know, I love taking our first time. We took a group to Sydney and you know, sometimes we don't really fully understand the history of the nation and the Christian influence. And you know, there's a corner there on Bridge Street. You go down this in Sydney, there's a plaque there where it talks about the scriptures that Richard Johnson read. And it was in that spot where the first ever Christian service was held. What mean ye these stones? You know how many times I've sat there? And I've asked the question, do you know what this means? And there's that conversation and there's been the gospel spoken of, there's deeper things. Did you know that? And you know, sometimes we look at that and we just say, oh, it's just another thing. But really at the end of it, it's for God's glory to be perpetuated, because he says to them in verse 7, then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. What it was a glorying to God. It was a highlighting of what God did. And you know, you can tell a story that impacts generations to come. And I'm asking what stories have been written, what markers placed and what memorials given for remembrance of what God has done in your life? You know, are there evidences? Is there some things you can point to? You know, first time we started moving here, I took my kids to Kippering. And I took them to where Emmanuel Baptist Church used to be. That was a place where God called me to preach, right here in Queensland. I told them, we drove past it, we stopped there, and I said, hey, I sat in there and God spoke to me right there. And it was as a memorial. And what I've developed in my life, there's been times where I've written things down, but you know, I can't think of a better memorial than the Word of God. And so we've memorized Scripture. We've remembered special times in the Word. But here's my goal. This is my third preaching Bible. I have three children. And what I want to do is I'm trying to write in my Bible. I'm trying to, you know, wear these out because I want to pass on memorials to my kids. One Bible per kid, right? If God gives us more, then I need more Bibles. But what I'm saying is I've got these to pass on. What they're going to find is there's going to be some tear marks. There's going to be some dates with verses. There's going to be, you know, my fingerprints on the pages of the Scriptures. There's going to be little dents, and on this one, it's got our church on the back. It marks the time when I came here, I became the pastor of this church. Why? Because I want them to ask questions. Because I want there to be a memorial of what God has done in my life. Because one day, they're going to need their God to do something in their life. And there's a nation now ready to take over this promised land, and God's going to have to do some things that are unusual in their lives. And then here's Joshua obeying in the specific, obeying in the general. Why? Because he knew there's going to be generations that's going to need to be encouraged and helped and hoping again. And the only way to do that is to have a memorial of what God has done today. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the time. And Lord, sometimes, Lord, we tend to have this view of history, dear God, like it's done. But actually, history is active. And history comes and goes. And Father, we need to be a people who are just in the moment with the realization that the moment is fleeting. And one day we're going to have an account, give an account for this life. But certainly, Lord, one day there will be another generation that's going to view things and they're going to have to decipher what life's all about. So help us, Lord, to be contributors, dear God, to the memorials you're placing, Lord, by having our current day victories, Lord, or by being obedient, by understanding, dear Lord, that you're trying to build something of our lives that will hopefully bring hope and encouragement and faith to those that will follow us and those that are observing us even today. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we have this time. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.